This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, Paul Fontaine and I here for Broken News. Remember, we don't break the news, but we talk about the news that has been broken. Paul Fontaine, wrestling Twitter and wrestling social media went nuts last night.
So did.
Were you surprised? Okay, I understand that plans change is really hard for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like people didn't live through 2011.
Sorry about that. I unplugged That's okay. my mic on accident. Plans change can be very hard for people.
Yeah.
I was so surprised at how irritated and frustrated and even pissed off a lot of fans were last night. I mean, I understand all of the scenarios that were at hand. But, you know, we are coming off of just a week of Vince McMahon being accused of being a sex trafficker. And there wasn't one tenth of the craziness online after that as there was when we don't even know what's going to happen, but Cody on SmackDown came out and it seemed like he handed off his match with Roman to The Rock. We don't have an explanation. They didn't explain it on SmackDown even after the cameras were off. The Rock just thanked Birmingham, Alabama for being great, and then he walked away. So for all we know, this is a vehicle in the storytelling for WrestleMania, and it seems like we believe it's The Rock against Roman Reigns in the main event, but nothing has been said. Cody hasn't said his piece yet. I'm sure he's got a promo and a half that he's going to cut on Monday. But what were your takeaways with the reaction?
I think this is how you feel. I feel like people lost their minds. Like I remember 3 weeks ago that when he appeared on Raw, I think it was Raw, maybe it was SmackDown, and he first dropped the line about being the head of the table, everyone was like just like excited. Like, you know, it was the talk of all the sports talk shows, and Rock was making the media rounds, and Twitter blew up, and everyone was all excited about it. And now 3 weeks later, they make the match and people are pissed off. I'm like, have I woken up in an alternate universe? Like, did 3 weeks ago not happen? I don't get it. And I mean, I guess, you know, people got their hearts set on Cody, and that's fine. I'm a huge Cody Rhodes fan, as anyone that's listened to me knows.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
he's been awesome.
Yeah. And you know what? Yeah, this is bad for Cody Rhodes, the character. I don't think this is bad for Cody Runnels. I don't think this is bad for WWE, unless all these people that are upset. And I mean, who knows how many people it is right now on X. What is it? Cody. We want Cody. I think it is trending. And but then you look at the number of tweets and it's like 15,000. And then, you know, like the number three trend has over 1 million. So, you know, like, I don't know what that even means, but yeah, people are upset. And in our Discord, in private chats, I'm getting texts. I'm like, and people I think are smart are like, are losing their minds over it. Like, oh my God, how can they do this? It's so stupid. And then how can you defend it? You're in, you know, if AEW is doing the same thing, you'd be all over it. And I'm like, well,
AEW doesn't have The Rock. It's a real,
they don't have The Rock. Thing. They don't have WrestleMania. Like, I'm trying to make comparables and, oh, you're just bending over backwards. And then of course I heard I was an AEW homer when I submitted my voice to the wrestling ballot and I didn't have any WWE matches in it. So, you know, like, you can't win, but
okay, here's the thing. Let's lay out the timeline here.
Yeah.
Because many things had to happen for what we got. And I want to kind of circle back a little bit on what you said about the, how it all happened and why the discourse. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a couple things that happen, and one of is, and you know, we go back to Dave talking about the Royal Rumble and saying, you know, being predictable is good, because all we heard from the larger than usual audience who watches the Royal Rumble, because it is a casual wrestling fan event, all we heard was, oh, it's so boring, it was predictable, right? That's all we heard.
Yeah.
And so Cody wins that match. He points at Roman, and in some instances you had a lot of wrestling fans whose hopes and whose word, because they consider themselves insiders in some ways, their word was that they heard Cody was winning and they told people and they believed it, and you know, that Royal Rumble moment proved that they were right. And yep. Then all of a sudden come Friday, they were not right. I think that is part of them losing their mind.
Well, and here's the thing, like all the same people that were upset with the Rumble on Saturday now seem to be the ones that are complaining that we're not getting the match that they built to. Like, this is like, I'm just like, I almost think that these people don't even exist, except I'm talking to them. So I know, like, I know it's not bots, like, you know, and I'm literally talking to the same people that were complaining on Saturday about the Rumble. And now they're complaining about, you know, maybe they just like to complain. I don't know.
Okay. Well, look, you know, there is the reason why I mentioned that to Dave.
Yeah.
Because the predictability seemed to favor the Cody story. If you had been on this ride with Cody for the last 2 years, mm-hmm. last year, they probably pissed you off by not paying off the story. And Cody looked like every other goober who has been beaten by the Bloodline, right? And what did we come out of that WrestleMania saying? Well, they probably should have done it, but you got to see what the story is. And they went on to have a fantastic year. Cody Rhodes himself had the year of his life as the top guy. And I don't care what anybody says, day in and day out, no matter who has the belt, Cody Rhodes is their top guy, week in and week out, TV show in and TV show out. Roman is there, you know, 30% of the time. Roman is their biggest superstar for sure. But when it comes to their television and when it comes to their house shows, they look at Cody as the top guy in that area, the top babyface. That's what the top babyface's job is, essentially. So we've already, and maybe this is some of it, which is they pushed the finishing the story thing out again. And maybe the fan base was like, look, last year you beat him. We're okay with it now because the year was good, but you better not beat him again. And maybe this is them being vocal in that sense. And you know, to some extent, I get it. Like, I understand fandom. Mm-hmm. You and I look at this stuff a little bit differently mm-hmm. because of what we do. And I've been vehement in how I watch wrestling, which is I cover it like it's a business and I don't really care about the wins and losses. I more look towards, you know, why is this happening? Why is this not happening? Does this affect business positively or negatively? That's kind of how I look at it. So when I see The Rock come out, I'm like, oh, they made a business decision that he's finally here. He's finally going to do it. Okay, but there are a lot of things that had to happen in order for this to be the moment. And so let's kind of go back in time a little bit. Let's go back to the Wall Street Journal article on Janelle Grant's lawsuit against Vince McMahon and WWE. That happens a couple of days before the Royal Rumble. So we have that information floating around. I think it was 2 days before that, the Netflix thing goes out and it goes live, and WWE Raw is going to Netflix. And, you know, Dave and I looked at that deal a little bit more closely. Dave has all the notes in the Observer. They're barely getting a bump at this point based on the, 20% numbers.
Maybe.
So that happened. They're in business with Netflix. The Rock joins the board. And I wonder if at that moment we should have figured that it's like now or never for him. He is pushing in. He's all of his chips are kind of in with TKO and WWE. And this is him saying, hey, you know, let's maximize this all of a sudden this publicity. And then the Vince thing happens, and that kind of hurts them, rightfully so, because of all the sordid details that were in there. So you do the Royal Rumble. Triple H has, we didn't mention the Slim Jim thing. The Slim Jim thing happens.
Right. Yep.
They pull out as the sponsor. Vince is gone. And then they come back as the sponsor. So this is all in a matter of days.
Like 48 hours, basically.
Royal Rumble happens. Yep. Triple H looks like a fool, an absolute fool on the press conference in trying to answer questions or not answer questions or whatever. So that's another negative. That's another stench. You're just adding fuel to the problem and to the bad publicity. Then we learn, okay, Brock Lesnar's out. They have no interest in doing business with him right now. So he is off the plans for WrestleMania. He was going to have a big match, more than likely with Gunther. He was going to be on the Elimination Chamber against Dominic. So that's another ball that has dropped. And then we learn that CM Punk is going to be off of that show. So all of this, all of these things that are very negative that is happening, if you are TKO, if you are The Rock, you're like, man, it's really now or never. It's shit or get off the pot for this match. And it sounds like he really wanted it, and he is really invested in this match. So even if, like, and here's the other part is that, you know, it all of a sudden becomes a, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson throwing his weight around and using politics to politic and maneuver for his spot and all of those things. Again, like you mentioned, when he did the head of the table thing on Monday Night Raw, everyone was like, oh, cool, The Rock is back. And now that he's actually back, the people are frustrated. So a couple of things here with The Rock. The Rock is an absolute top-level movie star.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, one of the biggest in the world.
And he is somebody who every time he tweets about you or he posts something on Instagram about you, like it just blows up. He's got such a very loyal and large fan base. He's presented as a really good person. And we are led to believe that, you know, this guy is one of the better celebrities out there. If this was anybody but The Rock working with WWE, I do wonder if the backlash would be a little bit different. Now, it's a little bit different because he's taking a match from Cody or whatever. And I know that's a big part of it. But, like, just because this is pro wrestling, the fans are already determining what they believe has happened. And what they believe has happened is that somehow, some way, The Rock screwed Cody Rhodes and he's a bad person for it. Like, that's kind of where people's minds are jumping. And, you know, my old buddy, Max Mikado is in the chat, and he said, and he said, the discontent seems premature. The booking is malleable. Direction can still change. And that is kind of what I think about as well. It could very well be Cody and Seth and Roman and Rock. It may be that. And if it is that, Cody and Seth are going to have probably the match of the weekend. I would believe those guys would be driven to do that.
Probably main eventing one of the nights.
Yeah. And it's also possible that there is other things in play.
I have a theory.
Well, we'll get to your theory in a second.
Yeah.
I don't know if the let's just say that if they would change any plans based off of the internet fervor, if you go by the live crowd, they seem to be in love with The Rock being on television. But do we know if they are going to, let's say he shows up on Rock, does he get on Raw, does he get booed?
I can't imagine he does when that music hits. And he's, you know, unless he does his subtle things to tell the fans, oh, I'm a heel now.
Yeah, if he heals on them.
Yeah, but if he comes in and he says, finally, The Rock has come back to wherever the hell they are, you know, like, they're going to cheer. And, you know, and depending on who he's in the ring with, I don't think The Rock's going to be on Raw. I think it'll be Cody on Raw, and they're not going to boot Cody. In fact, they're probably going to be even more behind Cody than they've ever been. You remember 2014?
Yes, I remember 2014. Yeah. Well. The thing that I remember most about 2014 is I was kind of upset at their creative, pretty much weekly.
Yeah, yeah. And they were, and then they turned around and retconned it all.
Yes.
And told us, you know, this was our plan, you know, all along to give Daniel Bryan this great moment. I got to tell you something with this whole timeline. I was told right around the time that The Rock was on the board, and what I was told kind of lined up, like, we're getting Rock Roman at WrestleMania. Like, that's, you know, that's what I was told, and that's what all made sense and everything. And even Dave was kind of hinting, you know, that match is coming, maybe at Mania, maybe later. And when Cody won the Rumble, I was surprised. I was like, well, if we're doing Rock Roman, like, you know, why would Cody win the Rumble? And then, you know, we found out about the Punk injury, and then, you know, and it's still, like, I'm not 100% convinced Seth is even going to be able to wrestle. You know, he'll probably gut it out. He's a trooper, and, you know, he could do one match and then maybe take some time off. But there's a lot of stuff about this that just doesn't quite make sense when you really look at it. And that this first vitriol that we're getting from everybody is total reactionary. And I think people need to just step back and think a little bit. And, you know, so, I mean, we'll get into my theory in a bit, but there's a lot of things with The Rock, and you hinted at it. You know, the guy does movies, the guy's got a football league. There may be one date that he's gonna pencil in his name for that he's gonna wrestle. And you know what? He can't wait 2 months till Saudi Arabia. He can't wait 4 months to SummerSlam. He can't wait a year till WrestleMania next year. He's 53. You know, every year that goes by, it's less and less likely that he can do a main event WrestleMania match.
We'll see if he can even do a WrestleMania match this year.
And that plays into my theory as well. You know, so all of this stuff, and the fact that this isn't Vince McMahon's WWE.
Yeah.
This is Triple H, and this is Nick Khan, and it's The Rock. And, you know,
he's involved. He's on the board.
And they're not about screwing over the fans or telling the fans, this is what you want. That's not this WWE. Now, granted, you know, Triple H learned from Vince, but that's never been the way he's booked.
Okay, before we get to your theory, because I think it is a sound one, and you mentioned 2014, so it's a little bit of a hint where you're going. Mm-hmm. Has this Cody Rhodes story only been about WrestleMania is my question, because a lot of people who I talk to, they say that WrestleMania is where it needed to happen. And if you look at sort of how WWE plans things, they definitely consider WrestleMania their biggest show, and they go, you know, there's two nights and they have that date out, you know, many, many months in advance so you could buy tickets. I get that aspect of it. But if we are talking about this actual story, Dusty was in one WrestleMania, I believe.
Yeah.
It was Dusty
and Sapphire.
Sapphire against Macho Man and Sherry.
Yeah.
An entertaining match for what it was. Dusty was always entertaining and Savage was awesome. But that wasn't necessarily a marquee match. That was not a title match. Dusty was a joke of a character, and because Dusty was so good, he made that character work. This story is about the title, because I kept saying to people last night who were saying, oh, Cody versus Seth, that's the worker's belt, they demeaned that belt, and I could tell how many people didn't actually watch Raw.
Yep.
from their response to Roman basically giving Seth his receipt from Monday, which is fine. He can't watch everything. I get it. And you watch The Rock on SmackDown, there's a good chance that tons of people watch SmackDown who don't usually watch SmackDown. So, or Raw. So to me, this story has been about Cody and Roman's belt. And to me, this thing would be so poetic if it somehow happened in Madison Square Garden.
Yes, I was going to bring that up because that's the other thing. He mentions the title and he's always mentioning Madison Square Garden.
So they're not going to have WrestleMania at Madison Square Garden anytime soon.
No.
That is their out in finishing this actual story. And unfortunately, for a fan base that has been trained that all the important stuff happens at WrestleMania, it just doesn't jive with that story because, yeah, it's not going to be WrestleMania. I've already said what my idea is. First SmackDown on USA, Madison Square Garden, Cody wins the title, and you remind people that, oh, yeah, SmackDown on USA
I'll,
now.
I'll give you one better. What about the first Raw on Netflix?
You could do the first Raw on Netflix. You're waiting a little bit longer.
Yeah,
my buddy Ben Cruz from Wednesday Worldwide, he and his guys, Brian Waters and Cal, thought, what if you did like a special edition before going actually to Netflix? You could do a special show on Netflix, and that would be, you know, something.
And that might be a bigger show than WrestleMania, you know, in terms of importance to the company. The first show on Netflix might be more important than, you know, just WrestleMania 40 from Philadelphia, wherever, you know.
And I guess, like, I'm not even really mad about the hypocrisy because fans are fanatics. That is what they are, and they want things. And but, you know, I'm one of my buddies who does a show with me once a month, Big D, he was kind of thinking about spending a lot of cash on a really good seat for night one at WrestleMania or night two. I don't remember. Maybe both. And he kind of paused and was like, if it's not Cody's story, I don't know if I want to spend that much cash, because that's the story that he was dead set on wanting to be there for. So there's just a part of me that is like, folks, you were so sure that the end of this story was happening at WrestleMania, but are we really sure? Because these plans seemingly have been in flux for months and months and months. And the reaction is relying on Cody winning the Royal Rumble and that telling people the predictability, which is what you wanted. Now they feel a little bit swerved and they feel that The Rock came in and used his politicking and his big personality and his newfound power and moved Cody to the side. And that very well may be true. Like, well, I'm sure that story will come out, but this just reminds me of the Punk stuff from WrestleMania. Yep. What? WrestleMania 28, WrestleMania 28 and 29, where Rock wins the belt and he's basically has the belt. And Punk was very frustrated because he thought he worked himself into that spot. And we know how that happened and just the irony about that situation of Punk coming back at Survivor Series this year and working himself into a top spot before he got hurt. And, you know, we've had this in the past, too. I think it was it John Morrison who was so frustrated that Snooki, of all people?
Oh, yeah.
Like had a WrestleMania slot, you know,
and he got bumped.
Who was the woman that he was dating back then? His manager. What was her name?
Oh, Melina.
Yes, Melina wasn't, didn't get a deserved spot. So this has been for history, right? This is just how it works. This is WrestleMania. So I just find it so weird that The Rock, who is like the most homegrown WWE star in the history of the business, like if you think about how he started, the family, where he came from, he's the one that is taking a lot of heat from this hardcore fan base for pushing his chips all in this year when we thought this was going to happen. Like we know, I don't know if it was 50%. I thought it was going to happen, but when he was on Raw, I was like, oh, this is happening. He mentioned the head of the table. This is where we're going.
At that point, I was 100%. Like, there's no way they're doing that. He's dropping that line if they're not doing the match. Yes. So,
what's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't even know where to start with this. We talk about like all this, what we're hearing and everything like that. And it got me thinking, like, how many people is it that is really complaining, and how easy would this be to manipulate? Where if we all know, we've heard stories about like bots and this and that and everything, and you get people tweeting about things, and then eventually it picks up steam. And a lot of the people that I'm seeing complaining the loudest are people that, from my past experience in dealing with them, don't even really like WWE all that much. And they're just looking for a reason to, ha ha, you know, like the Nelson from The Simpsons, you know, like just to laugh at WWE fans. And Cody, you know, Cody's whole thing is a meme. He's even joked about it. Like he said at the press conference, he wished he hadn't even come up with that, finish the story, because all it is a meme at this point. People are pointing to the picture of Hogan and Bret Hart with Yokozuna and superimposing Cody's face on it, on Bret Hart's face, you know, stuff like that. So it almost makes me wonder if WWE didn't go into this knowing what the reaction would be, and maybe even tweaking it a little bit. And my thinking on that is, okay, there's a couple things about this. Rock doing this match at 53 or whatever, the last match that he had was that 2011 match we talked about. Dude got injured. Mm-hmm. In that match. And I think he got injured the year before against Cena as well. You know, it was minor. The second one was more major. Dude did a spot with Jinder Mahal where he did a people's elbow and he was blown up. Like, can he even do a 15 to 20 minute singles match? That's what I'm thinking. So could this all be, you've got Cody there. He won his title shot. The people are behind him. Rock swoops in and takes the shot. Could the WWE listen to the fans, quote unquote, and say, you know what, Cody, this is Cody, this is your story, you're going to be in this match as well, and end up being a triple threat, just like 2014, when it was Batista, Triple H, and Daniel Bryan. Mm-hmm. And now you've got The Rock in this match where he probably doesn't have to do much. Mm-hmm. He can do a couple spots. He could be laid outside the ring, and Rock and Cody can do, Roman and Cody can do most of the work. And then however it happens. Cody finishes his story by beating not only Roman, but The Rock as well, mm-hmm. which is even huger. Huger? Is that a word?
Probably not.
Bigger.
You tell me, is that a word? Is that a Canadian word that I'm not sure about?
And the other part of this that, you know, my instant reaction last night, and you know this because I sent you a DM. My first thought was, I didn't think about Cody. I thought, what about Drew?
Yeah.
Drew is hotter than he's ever been. I talked on your show before we did, you know, I think it was the year end show or something like that, where I said, you asked who you're totally into right now. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it was on We're Live, Pal. And I said it was Drew.
Yeah.
This could open the door for Drew versus Seth on one of the nights. So you could have night one being Drew and Seth for Seth's title, and night two being Rock versus Cody versus Roman for the Universal title. And I think that's perfect. And then if Cody wins, they do the rematch on one of those big shows coming up, you know, that we talked about, whether it's SummerSlam, whether it's the first SmackDown on USA, whether it's the first Raw on Netflix.
See, now here's where I thought you were going, because the unique thing about WrestleMania 30 was that Daniel Bryan had to run the gauntlet.
Oh, wrestling twice. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He wrestled Triple H to open the show, which was a really good match. If they had more time, it would have been a great match. And then he had to qualify, and if he won that match, then he would get in the three-way with Randy Orton and Batista. Because you could do now...
You could do Cody Drew to open the show.
So here's my thought on that. And
yeah.
You know, the problem is that they have two belts, and that is the problem, because you could do you could say, okay, Cody versus Seth, and then Roman versus Rock on night one. Like, those are two giant main events, and then the winners of those matches face each other in night two. But Ooh. Because you have that belt thing, it makes it weird, because then you'd sort of like unify the titles again, and I don't think that they want to do that. But here's my other thing, though. And people keep sending me like, oh, simple solution. Roman and Rock on night one, Roman and Cody on night two. Is Roman wrestling twice in two nights?
I don't know.
You know, that is part of the stroke that he has, is he really has a pick your date kind of schedule. Like, I mean, this guy didn't wrestle on any big shows post SummerSlam from what I remember.
I think he did the Crown Jewel.
Okay, so that one.
Yeah.
Because was that the LA Night match?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. That's the kind of the fork in the road for me, is Roman wrestling more than once? I don't really believe so. The triple threat is a unique idea. Personally, I hate triple threat matches.
I know you do.
And so from a match perspective, it's not my favorite, but I don't think Roman and Rock is going to be this fantastic wrestling match anyways. Adding Cody would actually enhance the match, because he is the workhorse. He is the guy, you know, who is just going to wrestle as many times and run through as many brick walls as humanly possible.
And only a good match, it also helps Rock get through the match.
Yes. And like you said, another important thing is you would keep Drew and Seth. So here's my question about Cody, because I think that there are two risks that they decided for. And I'll pull back the curtain for the folks watching and listening here. As most people know, I believe, I record Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer on Friday, and we usually go around 2 p.m. Pacific. So I usually tell Dave to be there at 2. But we don't really go live until 2:15, just because he's typing away until the very last minute. So sometimes we have a couple of minutes to kind of chat about things before the show goes online. And he tells me, basically what I ask him is, he had a note in the Observer that said Cody could always still choose Seth, which would keep Rock and Roman. So he sort of had an inkling of something when he went to publish on late Thursday night. So I said, okay, I read the Observer. If Cody chooses Seth, he looks lame. I think that's how I said it. And he goes, agreed. Like, they would have to have some sort of story, right? And so I said, okay, well, do you think that's a viable story for them to tell? And he said, I was told everything is tight-lipped, but we should know after SmackDown.
Okay.
And so I couldn't, like, we couldn't even really talk about it, Wrestling Observer Radio, because he's like, there's no reason, because it's, by the time people listen, the thing's already going to have happened, and then we'll be old news or whatever. But just kind of like that little hesitation for him, I'm I'm sure his business savviness and his understanding of how WWE works and his understanding of The Rock, because I asked him this question in person and he's the one who brought it up on air. I didn't ask it on air. I said, you knew Rock very well, you know, from a wrestler journalist perspective back when he was wrestling and when he came back the first time. So, you know, his mentality, you know what he thinks. Is he going to want to wrestle in Saudi Arabia or is he going to want to wrestle at WrestleMania? And he said, he's going to want to wrestle at WrestleMania. And I go, okay, then I know what he would choose.
Yeah.
And so none of this is surprising to me, but I also have the ability to pick the brain of one Dave Meltzer. So I probably have thought a lot of these things through more than most people who feel that they may have been got hit upside the head with this information when they thought they knew what was happening. Okay, I think they made two risky decisions. The first decision, and we have a comment about this in the chat, about you know, the fan, Ryan was talking about the fan equity that they have built. Let's go back to WrestleMania 38. Stone Cold Steve Austin comes out against Kevin Owens. We did not hear the fervor about Stone Cold taking anybody's opportunity, but it was also not the title match. It wasn't the match against Roman Reigns. So that is the main difference. But from then on, from that WrestleMania on, they built up a lot of equity with this fan base. I don't know if Austin was kind of the key to the whole thing, but we expected that normal post-WrestleMania malaise, and it didn't happen.
There was a bit of a risk there because before that, the year before, they had done the women's match in the main event of one night and a men's match the other night. So there was the potential for some backlash that the women didn't get their main event, but it didn't happen.
And it was probably because it was Austin.
Because it was Austin. And
we
now it's
seen
The Rock.
Austin in forever. And now it's The Rock. But we've seen The Rock every once in a while for the last few years. Okay, so they've built up that fan equity, like Ryan said. And I think the risk that they were willing to take is our product is good. Our fans are pretty happy with what we're doing. This may be a risk worth taking. If the fans were not happy with the current programs and the product, then maybe it's not worth taking because they don't trust you. But I think they trust WWE right now more than maybe they ever have. And so that is a test of that theory based on the hardcore of the hardcores who were, who were frustrated about this. And the second risk I think that they took is in Cody himself.
Mm-hmm.
When Cody, it was funny because I can even think about the show that I was on that I said this. When Cody came into WWE and he came in as super white meat babyface Cody, I thought, oh my God, this crowd is going to turn on him really soon. And it never happened.
Nope.
And it never happened. And he kind of even went further. Like, this dude's voice cracks almost every promo he cuts on Raw. Like, he's about to cry almost every single time. And I've talked to people who are like, he's kind of like that in real life too. So they don't think that he's just playing it up. So the risk is Cody has so much equity with this fan base. And I think you're kind of putting it on him to go, okay, if we have a good explanation, the fans love you so much, you are carrying this, and you are making them understand that this is what you really want to do. And again, we're going to have to see what that is. We don't know what it is yet.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Seth is hurting more than we know, and that matches off. Like, we don't know. We'll know soon. They're doing a press conference in Vegas on Thursday, and I'm sure they will tie up probably most of those loose ends there. Gosh, Super Bowl week in Vegas.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, it's crazy. I wonder how many real people are going to be there. I know Sean Ross Sapp and Denise are going.
Yeah, because AEW is running a show there too.
I almost think Dave needs to go. I need to tell him, dude. He can't go because that's the deadline day for the Observer. So he won't actually go. But man, there should be somebody from F4W that's there. I am not included in that, by the way.
Maybe Brian could go.
Yeah, Brian should definitely go.
Yeah.
So those are two giant bets, and it may be. I was talking to somebody, and I called them like heat checks, like when you watch basketball players, and you know, Klay Thompson for the Warriors, he hits like two big shots. And then he takes like five steps back from the three-point line and shoots another one. It's almost like, oh, it's a heat check. How hot is Klay? Usually yeah. it's kind of a clank, but I do wonder if this is them going like, look, we're going for it. We're taking the risk and we're going to worry about the repercussions of it later.
Cody's fans are extremely loyal, and I'm not talking about the fans that are tweeting. I'm talking about the people that show up at the buildings, that cheer, that buy his merch, that sing his song, that cry with him. And this may actually help Cody. They might get more sympathetic to Cody that he got his spots taken from him and get even more behind him and start like letting WWE know, like, as I said at the beginning of the show, we want Cody is trending. Like, this may make him more popular. Like it did with Daniel Bryan in 2014, you know, where they ended up doing the Occupy Raw thing, you know, that ended up leading to him being inserted into main events of WrestleMania at the demand of the fans. The company absolutely did not want it. This time, I don't think the company would have a problem putting Cody in the main event. In fact, I'm pretty sure if Triple H, you know, had his way, Cody would be in the main event. You know, I shouldn't say that. Like, obviously, if he has a choice between Rock and Roman and Cody, he's going to pick Rock and Roman. But, you know, his plan was, I'm sure, Cody and Roman, you know, like all along, probably for the last 2 years. But they've been building Rock and Roman for 4 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, like everyone's saying, oh, you're throwing away a 2 year story. Someone brought it up in the chat. No, this has been a 4 year storyline that finally is going to happen. It was bonkers. That mentioned it in the chat.
Yeah, I don't want to put words in the friends in the mouth of our friend John Muse, who has some life booking experience. But you know, they have multiple things that they have to do, and you have to blend them together. You know, booking is just not this like straightforward linear thing, right? And this goes back to a conversation that I had with Tony Khan on air when I was like, hey, man, it's the pandemic. People are getting sick. You have this match that you've booked. Do you have a plan B in the back of your mind? Because what happens if these guys get hurt or get sick? And he's like, no, I just trust my instincts. Right. And in some instances, I'm sure that's the best thing. In others, maybe not.
John LaRocca said the same thing.
Yeah, John LaRocca pretty much said the same thing. He actually embraced those situations because you had to be even more creative. I'm sure Triple H had one match booked and then he had another path if The Rock was going to show up.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure he was a voice in the room that decided, okay, Cody's going to win because I'm going to do Cody and Roman because I can't count on Rock Roman. And then Rock is there and Rock is like, well, if you want me, it's going to be WrestleMania. I can't tell you I'm going to be able to do Saudi. I can't. I'm just, again, you know, assuming. So it's at that point, it's like, well, yeah, I mean, so I say it's not his call. I mean, obviously it is his call, but I mean, it's not, he wasn't really left with much of a choice.
But by the way, I know when we bring up these arguments, it may come across like we're defending what happened. Like, I don't know what happened. We're going to find out from Big Dave and, you know, from other folks. I know Sean has a story out on his Fightful Select about with a quote from people backstage. Yeah. And all, you know, everybody talks to different people. But I am not defending Cody not being in the main event of this show. I'm explaining and I'm looking at different avenues as to why this happened. So even if, you know, I'm having alternate theories and we're sort of talking through business and we've both said this is probably the biggest business match that they could ever have. I'm also not saying, oh yeah, this was fantastic creative. It was clear to me that they had one situation to tell this story and they pivoted. Like it seems like a clear pivot. And I think, you know, Big Dave had a post on the message boards, which I did not read, but somebody sent it to me. And he's like, yeah, like this was kind of like, you know, recent. It was The Rock pushing for it recently. And we can speculate those reasons, which I have done, which I, in my opinion, he saw bad things coming from, you know, publicity wise. And he looks at things from a business and a larger scale publicity perspective. And I think some of the people who are really frustrated, they are not looking at it from a big picture perspective. They're looking at it for what they want. I also just find the people who are not really WWE fans who are very upset. That's really interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because they're not even really invested in the product and they are so frustrated about the story, which is, I don't know, maybe it's just because, you know, WWE is just the biggest name in town. You sort of have to pay attention. But, you know, even if it is a pivot based on what you perceive to be bad news, the reason is based in what they believe to be the best thing for business, right? Like that, yeah. That used to be a storyline, or that used to be a catchphrase for them back in the day. But this is a real life, hey, we are TKO. We screwed up. We employed this guy. We put this guy as the chairman who had all of these bad things going on. We need to change the public perception of what is going on, and we need to change it immediately. And you, when you have The Rock as your, you know, just, you know, open the red box and get that hammer, and The Rock is right there. Mm-hmm. You probably do utilize him. And TKO, yeah,
for a lot of reasons.
TKO is not in the weeds on the wrestling stuff, right? No. Ask Ari Emanuel his favorite ever WWE storyline. He's not going to go, well, in 1989 when the Mega Powers, like, he's just like, who gives a shit? Just whatever, you know, whatever sells the most.
Rock Cena.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah. So, but TKO, it is in the best interest of the stock price. It is in the best interest of their business deals to really clean up the narrative that mm-hmm. is there because of this terrible situation, the lawsuit. Janelle, I always mention her name because I don't want her name to get lost in this. This is not the Vince McMahon lawsuit. This is Janelle Grant's lawsuit against Vince McMahon and WWE.
Yeah,
there's really, you know, if we step back outside of our wrestling bubble, you know, I don't know how many people outside, you know, that you talk to, or maybe people who don't even really know about wrestling. But I was getting texts from my casual wrestling fans about the Vince McMahon stuff and going like, what in the F is going on here? You know, and I'm sure Ari Emanuel got those texts from people that he knows.
Doesn't this guy work for you?
I'm sure Dwayne Johnson was getting texts. Imagine Dwayne Johnson, who just the 2 days before in the ringing of the bell was saying good things about Vince.
Standing next to him with a big smile on his face.
Right? Yeah. So, you know, I'm not defending what they did. I don't know if it's going to be great creative. It does look like a pivot. It does look like Rock decided at the last minute, maybe, you know, that he was forceful a little bit, that he was going to do this. I'm sure we will learn soon, but I am not also the one who's just like, WWE is dead. This is their downfall. This is WCW stuff. And I am seeing those tweets from people. Oh, this is WCW level stuff. So there are many things moving in directions, and we'll have a better idea. But man, I just did not expect to see so much negativity about this, considering we knew that it was like a 50-50 possibility. So I guess I don't know what the question is, but come Monday.
Yeah.
Come Monday, are you ready to hear more? I mean, there's an NXT show Sunday, but no one's really going to
care. No one cares about that.
You know, Rock's daughter is probably going to be on that show, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing that I would be more frustrated with. Is, I think, man, I'm going to. Why is she on this show?
I think I may stay off social media on Monday and just wait it out for a bit.
I'm kind of like watching Twitter and joking about it because there's so much goofy stuff on there. But, you know, in our Discord, I find the arguments, I find the frustrations, I find the reasoning. I find it all to be very interesting because my perception about pro wrestling is very specific to business and is very specific to everything I learned from people like John LaRocca and people like Dave Meltzer and Brian as well. So there are things outside of my understanding or the way that I think about this stuff that I find to be really cool and great. and conversation is awesome. So I'm not really worried about it. But you know what I am worried about? And this is an actual interesting thing to kind of end this show on. There is more active Twitter accounts with large followings that are taking information as their own, because I saw a couple of versions of Dave's message board post written as their own news, as if they were in some sort of inside scoopage on the news. But we're really going to see the separation of who the real wrestling media is. Someone asked me today, you know, who are the people that you follow? And I was like, yeah, you know, John Pollock, Brandon Thurston, you know, outside of F4W. And then they mentioned, somebody else mentioned, I think it was Alan Cheapshot, who's got to be one of your favorite wrestling Twitter accounts going. He's so great. And he said, I also follow Joe Lanza and Todd Martin. And I was like, oh, Todd, I love Todd. I've hung out with Todd many times. I've had so many great conversations with Todd. And Joe Lanza, Mike and JD, our buddies, swear by Joe Lanza. So, yeah, there's more good people there. But there's also going to be some people, and we saw this with the Justin Barrasso Royal Rumble column that he wrote. They're going to try and find the people who don't know what the hell that they're doing, and they're going to get word. I've already sort of seen it. It's like The Rock is trying to politic to beat Roman Reigns. And I'm like, I mean, maybe he is, but also they're trying to make people believe that this is not just Roman Reigns winning again. That's the whole thing for the match.
Yeah.
And so I'm really worried about some of these accounts that may have wrong information, because if you can kind of, screw with someone like Justin Barrasso, who has a large following and who's done some great interviews and has some good information, they're going to see that and go, we're going to be able to get a lot of these people. So that I'm a little bit worried about that. I'm a little bit worried about the rumors of stuff happening that may not be true, just because they don't want everyone to think that this is just Roman spearing The Rock and Bloodline coming in. And, you know, they want you to think that The Rock has a chance, and maybe the best chance. Maybe, you know, maybe it's the idea that if anybody can beat Roman, it's got to be The Rock. And
well,
so
it's the new way to work people, you know, as opposed to just the TV storylines. Now they're using reporters and people that think they're reporters and popular Twitter personalities to get, you know, narratives out there.
Yeah. I call them the kiss the ring media.
Yeah. And I think that whole thing with Gunther was part of that. I think it was WWE. Someone at WWE fed Justin that story, and he, you know, took it at its word and probably learned from it.
Okay. I know you got to go soon. So yeah. Let's wrap up here in a second.
Sure.
There's a story that Brian Gewirtz is back, because, and if you read Brian Gewirtz's book, he comes back with Rock every single time. That is not news. Brian Gewirtz helps Rock write stuff for promos, and it, like, he's just Rock's right-hand man when it comes to writing. There was also another story, I think this was Pro Wrestling Insider, that if, you know, that maybe Gewirtz would be interested in Triple H's job. And immediately my thought was, why would he want to work 80 hours a week when he's Rock's right-hand man? He gets to fly on the private jet, sipping Terramana, and basically helping Rock with all of his creative things. Why would you want the WWE creative job?
It's an easy logical assumption to make. We had some discussion on there, like, what if, you know, if you know, they decide to get rid of Triple H, who would they replace him with? And Gerwitz was one of the names I came up with, you know, but again, it's, would he want to do it? And probably the answer is no. Rock, I don't think he wants to do it. It's
got old HBK just sitting there with the googly eye. He's like, come on, man. But I don't even know if he would want it. Like, that's
he's
job.
He showed on Thursday. He's paying attention to Twitter and ratings. Yeah. And I was like, is this the guy I know that, you know, couldn't figure out how to turn on a computer?
All right. My last thing I want to say is, wrestling folks, we will get through this just like get through everything. This will be, we may even laugh about this in, 2 months when WrestleMania is over or whatever. But I love it. It's fascinating. I love the passion with the fans. I wish some of them would think a little bit more critically, but at the same time, this is wrestling. This is what it's about as far as the fandom, and why Netflix wants to be in business with WWE is because of the passion and because of the people who are so fired up about this stuff. So, Paul, I thank you. I literally gave you like 20 minutes to pop on and do this.
You warned me last night. You warned me last night, so I was ready for it.
All right. But yeah, I appreciate you doing this. And so thank you to everybody who checked out our discussion and who listened on the podcast feed. So for Paul Fontaine, I'm Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.